we capture anger for good purposes? We have been talking about Ephesians 4, which teaches that it's okay when you get angry, but deal with your angry promptly, before the sun goes down, the verse says. Otherwise, the temptation to act out sinfully in your anger may overtake you. Can anyone relate? Yes, I think so. I don't have to explain how anger tempts us to sin. I think we each know exactly what that means and what that experience is like. Anger is a great opportunity for the enemy to get a foothold. I really like that analogy from Ephesians because we can visualize it. The enemy has grabbed you by the ankle and wants to pull you down, desiring to hurt us, our relationships, and especially our witness as a follower of Christ. This includes our witness in our own homes, if we have children or teens. It especially includes that. Back to the image of the enemy with his grasp on your ankle. We want to shake that foot when we feel anger rising up. We are going to take control the very next time we get angry and give the enemy a surprise counterattack to let the enemy know that we have slippery ankles and he's not going to be able to get a foothold from now on. The Bible tells us, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Once you have a plan in place, you are making up your mind that you are going to start using your anger for good purposes. And you have already won half the battle just by committing to a new effective plan of action for your anger, aggravation, and irritability. You know, I have worked with and helped others with learning to take back a healthy control from people who have narcissistic personality traits. The strategies that work with narcissistic people are also effective with our spiritual enemy. See, the narcissistic pattern is that they have learned you. They know where you are weak, and the narcissist manipulates that. When you do introspection to determine how a narcissist is manipulating you, a great strategy you can do the next time they manipulate you is to do something different from what you usually do. You surprise them with a different response, a response that respects yourself and doesn't play into their manipulation. Fighting our spiritual enemy works the same way. When you feel anger rising up and the enemy has his hand on your ankle, that is your signal. That is what it is, your signal to do something different. Implement a new plan of action. Launch your counterattack. You may say out loud, God, I am using this anger signal for you. I am going to take this turbulence I am feeling and I'm going to take it away from the grasp of the enemy and I am giving it to you and we are going to solve this problem and use this for good. That's how you launch a counterattack. Do something different and planned that takes what the enemy wants to use to bring you down, but instead you are going to use it for good, for God's purposes. The enemy wants to take your anger signals and have you destroy your relationships, your happiness, your reputation as a follower of Christ, but God will help you turn those anger signals into positive growth, positive problem solving, and for his good purposes. Now, back to the verse in Ephesians 4 about not letting the sun go down on your anger. This simply means we want to take control of our anger promptly. This does not mean we have to solve the underlying problem by the end of the day, literally. Look it up. It doesn't say that the problem must be solved by nightfall. I've heard of couples who have reported that trying to implement this by solving the whole problem and making up before the sun goes down only made the situation worse and more difficult due to the forced urgency of having to fix everything and come to an agreement within an hour or a few hours. Again, notice the verse doesn't say solve the problem before sunset. It doesn't say come to an agreement before bedtime. It doesn't even say kiss and make up before nightfall. No, it means don't let your anger last very long. Deal with it promptly. You can be angry. Use healthy self-management strategies to calm yourself and reset your thinking and go to bed without having the whole problem solved and packaged and tied up with a bow. The passage means simply to take control of your anger promptly. Okay, here's the strategy I am going to teach for this. The strategy I call calm it, list it, plan it. First, you calm it, then you list it, and then you plan it. You may have heard of Leslie Vernick. She is a Christian counselor with over 30 years of experience, and she teaches a similar method, which she calls dumping and reframing. This is actually based on the Psalms, specifically the Psalms, where David starts off by listing out and crying out his complaints to God. And then he switches in the middle of the psalm from listing complaints to taking himself into taking a new perspective. I like to call the strategy I'm teaching the calm it, list it, plan it strategy. It is the strategy to use to launch a counterattack and to turn your anger over to the Lord and use it for his purposes. Remember that in Romans 8:28, that well-known verse that God works all things together for our good actually occurred in the specific context in the verses that are before it. It's the context of the Holy Spirit working with us to help us use our weaknesses and turn them for God's good purposes. That is what the calm it, list it, plan it strategy helps us to accomplish. So here we go finally, the what to do. What do we do when we feel that turbulence of anger rising up? Here is a three-step list with an additional pre-step. As soon as you feel the turbulence of aggravation, irritability, or anger rising up, you are going to recognize the feeling of anger or aggravation, or that feeling of being ticked off, is a signal. It is a signal to you to launch the calm it, list it, plan it strategy of counterattack. I'm going to tell you the three steps plus the pre-step straight away, and then I'm going to go back over them with additional how-to details. Okay, the pre-step, ask God for help and guidance. Step one, calm it, implement calm down strategies. Step two, list it, make a list, and then view the list as a list of solvable problems. Step three, plan it. Plan ways to approach the solving or helping to relieve the problems. As soon as you feel the turbulence of aggravation, irritability, or anger rising up, immediately take a deep breath and just say or whisper, God, I know you're here. Help me be still and calm and figure this out. Immediately, that's really the pre-step, because it's immediately you invite God with his spirit to come in and help navigate your feelings and concerns. Do this immediately and not hours or days later after you have tried to handle everything on your own and possibly made a bigger mess of things. When you feel that anger signal, immediately take a breath and ask God for help, either out loud or in a whisper. Then step one, calm it. Implement whatever strategy works best for you to calm down or gain self-control. Examples are to take the 10 deep breaths, grab each successive finger as you take each breath to keep track of how many breaths you have taken. It works. You may need to isolate yourself or go for a walk. Also, grounding techniques are usually very effective. If you have not used or tried grounding techniques before, an example of a grounding strategy that I like to use is based on tuning into one's senses. I ask myself to name something I see, something I hear, and then something I feel, physically feel, tactly, not emotional feeling in this situation. For example, I see the kitchen table. I hear the cicadas outside the window. I feel the wind of the ceiling fan in the room on my face. Intentionally grounding yourself to your environment like this helps to settle your senses and helps you to pull yourself out of a negative thought spiral. This grounding type of strategy, so many people have reported it helping them, that it's very effective to get you out of your angry head and to help you to calm down. Step two, now when you are calm, you write down all that is going on in your head related to your anger or aggravation. This is the list it phase. Write down, without any adjectives or adverbs, just the facts of what happened to trigger or irritate or anger you. Write everything that is frustrating you related to the triggering event at the time. Now, this is where you may end up surprising yourself because you thought you were upset by one main thing, but there are actually a lot of different things that are coming out that you want to put down on your list. Just one trigger opened up a flood of related, frustrated, and angry thoughts. Now, when I do this listing, I open my laptop or I dictate my notes app on my phone and make a list in a document which I can put a passcode on, so it's like a secret diary or journal with a digital lock. So, step two is you list it out. Then, while you are calm, you review the list with a recognition that these are problems to be solved in a way for good. Your anger is signaling to you that these are your problems that likely need to be addressed. This is how you direct your anger for good with God's help. You direct it into problem solving with His help. You take a neutral signal that the enemy can grasp for bad, and you block the enemy from taking a hold of your ankle by taking that neutralized anger signal and hand it to God and use it to better your spiritual life and your relationships. Now that is winning. That is winning big. Finally, step three. Step three is to happen within the next 24 to 48 hours. Step three is plan it. When you are calm, and maybe even nearly over it, review the list again and begin to determine what actions you need to take to begin resolving the problems you listed out. Plan your implementation for the problem solving. Is there someone you need to have a conversation with? Do you need to see a counselor about some of the problems? Is the problem just something you need to be aware of? Or is it an issue or trigger for you and you simply need to give the issue over to God and pray for His will to be done through it? All right, I am going to stop this session here. I still have two additional important topics. And the first follow-up topic will be on when to see a professional for an anger problem. And the second related topic will be, what do we do when we have an episode of failure? What do we do before God when we do fail to steward our anger for good? Because failure and setbacks will happen. The little bonus follow-up episode will go up shortly after this one. And until next time, make a commitment that you're going to start recognizing your anger signal and using it for good. Thank you for listening. This is Sherry Peavy, the author and the voice behind these messages. I invite you to gospellifelearning.com to sign up for our monthly email newsletter if you haven't already done so. You will never miss a message, a special offer, or a free resource. Thank you again. Until next time.